Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. Help, I need
somebody. Help. You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery. I need someone.
Hello and welcome to Real Recovery. So glad you are joining us tonight. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio, and just across the way, George P. Fraser, a man whose license plate reads Mr. Three Putt. I didn't know you would actually do that, George. Get a vanity plate.
I five putted once on par five for a double bogey, but that's a whole nother deal. Thanks for bringing that up. Hey,
yeah,
we got
a great
show with Dr. Walsh, huh?
Well, Dr. Tim Walsh from Minnesota Dalton Teen Challenge is our special guest tonight. And we're going to talk about brain chemistry tonight, which I always think is fascinating. I think we could talk about this for shows and shows and shows. But tonight we have Tim for an hour and we'll bring him on in just a minute or two. But let's touch on step 12 tonight, George, before we bring on Tim.
Yeah, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we carried this message to other alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. And the last part of the step is what I want to focus tonight is on our recovery. How are you walking it out? And what Dr. Walsh is going to talk about are some endorphins and things like that. How are you practicing your recovery? And Tim, thanks for being on the show. Can you guide us into this?
Oh, absolutely. No, and thank you. Thank you for having me. So we've been contrasting dope versus hope, and dope is those things that spike our mood in the short term. And it's focused on instant gratification. It's focused on self-gratification and indulgence. It's focused on consuming instant pleasure, avoiding pain, and so on. And so that's what that is. And it's all externally focused, essentially, to stimulate us to have those short-term mood states. Whereas hope is a summary of these really positive feelings, these positive, steady emotional states that we can experience if we're willing to put in the time, if we're willing to focus in on other people, if we're willing to actually go through a bit of stress or challenge in order to get there, if we're willing to do some work in order to experience the reward or the payoff for those things. And so hope, how's that different? It's long-term focused. It's focused in on our visions and goals and dreams and outcomes for our lives. It's focused in on the most important people in our lives and investing in those people. It's focusing on avoiding those things in our lives that we don't want. And like I said before, hating what God hates. And along with that, we then focus in on our faith, our values, our ideals. You can see how all of that is different, exactly different than all those short-term instantaneous self-gratifications. It usually involves some pain, some effort, some stress to get to those things. And so George brought up a great example of exercising. You got to put time in. And one of the things I was talking about somebody the other day is I actually encourage people to feel the burn, as they say. The feeling the burn is deliberately allowing yourself to feel some discomfort, not pain, discomfort, because you're pushing it just enough so that you continue to grow and maintain the health that you have. And you're feeling the burn and you're doing it on purpose. And then after you feel the burn, you get done with your workout and you feel a really pleasant sense of contentment, satisfaction when you get done with that. So that'd be an excellent example of, I would say, being a hope fiend rather than, excuse me for saying it this way, a dope fiend, right? That's what my clients say. I want to be a dopeless hope fiend, not a hopeless dope fiend. Yeah,
Tim, should I be should I be feeling the burn when I'm doing a show with George?
I think George feels a lot of the burn, Bill, in my experience.
So maybe it's a mutual burn. I'll let George speak for himself.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm always glad when it's over, Dr. Walsh. One of the things to where I get a huge dopamine release is when Bill and I get together after the show and we laugh. I love to laugh.
Yeah.
And that's a real pleasure for me.
It's the best. And Tim, it's safe to say
that too, George. Thanks, Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, Tim, it's probably safe to say that, you know, tonight, because we normally focus on someone who has a specific drug or alcohol or issue that they're recovering from through Christ. Tonight's, we're going to discuss in the next segment, a list of kind of layers of dopamine activities that is subject to just about everybody who's listening tonight.
It is. And in fact, I asked my clients at Minnesota Dalton Challenge, I said, you know, does one addiction lead to another? And in their experience, of course, they would say, of course it does. And one addiction does lead to another. And then, of course, when one addiction becomes unenjoyable, you start layering it with other addictions. And so when what we're talking about here is, and these things all have those characteristics I'm talking about. They're short-term, they're indulgent, they're self-focused, they're instant gratification, they're designed to increase pleasure and avoid pain. So shopping. Purchasing, consumption, yeah. One thing after another after another. Each household, yeah. I heard, has 300,000 items in it, you know. And then we have these energy drinks and smoking and vaping. And we're going from a conspiracy theory to a political outrage. And then we're gaming. And then we're on our iPhone and our iPad and our and so on. And then we go to TV and binge watching and so on. So it becomes a way of life that is unsustainable and actually results in addiction, yeah, and dependency.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that more in the next segment. Dr. Tim Walsh is our guest. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill and George. We're so glad you're with us tonight. After a short break, we'll get right back into Dope versus Hope with Dr. Tim Walsh. Be right back.
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? Or you see it your way. On the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. You're saying you can get it wrong and still think that it's all right.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Welcome back to Real Recovery. We're so glad you're with us tonight. We're excited to have Dr. Tim Walsh back with us. It's been a while since we've had him on the program, George. I always look forward to having Tim. I always learn so much when he comes on the program.
Oh, absolutely. My favorite guest, I think. And
nice.
Positive guy. Anybody that helps my walk with God and my recovery, I'm always grateful for. So, yeah, be great to talk to him.
And I'm excited about our topic tonight, George. We're going to talk about dope versus hope. Actually rhymes, doesn't it? A couple of rhyming words in there.
I think Jesse Jackson said up with hope and down with dope. And,
did he really? I like that.
And yeah, I think it was Jesse Jackson. But really what we talk about all the time, Bill, is it's not about stopping a behavior. It's about developing a lifestyle with Jesus that's better than your using was. And right. I think this ties right into it.
So I am always interested in what's going on in that brain of yours. So what George and I want to do is get inside that head of yours and crawl around for a little bit.
Oh, goodness. I don't really think that's a good idea. I don't recommend that anybody occupy that space, honestly.
I get it.
Yeah. No, good.
I love the title. Love the title of tonight's discussion, Dope versus Hope. So let's start.
Good. So when we're talking about dope, we're talking about dopamine, and I think these days most people have heard about dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter, which means a chemical that goes on between the neurons in your brain. I think people understand that idea. But it's also what's called a neuromodulator, and all that means is it can flood into your body and brain all at once and get your body and brain working in a certain direction. And so dopamine is huge. It's about 80% of plays a role, about 80% of the pleasure center of our brain. So it's a big deal there. And it's also a big deal in motivation. It gets us moving and driving in a certain direction. And so it gets us geared towards, strategizing towards, operating, and actually our body moving in a direction. And so dopamine is very powerful. And so it's gotten a lot of attention by neurocognitive scientists and psychiatrists and researchers, and that's what I've been diving into because, you know, last four or five times that we've talked, Bill and George, we've been talking something along the lines of the neurochemistry of the brain, you know, that we have our own pharmaceutical shop inside of our head. And God has designed it that way. God has given us certain chemicals inside of our body and brain that help us to feel balanced, to feel serene, to feel peaceful, to feel excited, to learn, to motivate. It does all of that. And I think that chemistry was designed on purpose. So dopamine is powerful in all of those ways. But when we tap into that excessively, if we try to get what's called a dopamine spike or a dope spike in our brain, or if we try to layer one dopamine experience after another, after another, after another, that can be really damaging to us over time. So that's, I hope we get into that a bit. But, you know, what we talked about last time, and I think what we should talk about this time, is the last 2 years have been extremely damaging to people because the short term solutions that we have used to cope, to get through stress, to get through the pandemic, to get through the challenges that we face, to deal with the isolation that many of us have experienced, along with all the social unrest and so on, all these short-term solutions, you know, which we'll detail, that's fine for a short term. It is not fine as a long-term solution to our problems. And what has started to happen to us across the entire nation is an epidemic of anxiety, an epidemic of depression, what's called the deaths of despair, overdoses, suicides, accidental deaths, alcohol-related deaths. It just all starts piling up. We had over 100,000 overdoses and deaths due to overdose this last year, which is a record. And so all that's going on. And so dopamine, if we abuse that chemical that's within our body and brain, can also have some really damaging impacts on us as well.
So that is,
that was well said.
Very well said, yeah.
And I wanted to ask you a question, Tim, about the layering. I mean, not that I need any help on that, going for dopamine.
Yeah.
But we can also do that naturally, right? And so when we're using, I'm assuming what you're talking about is if you have a drink, you're going to have a cigarette, and then
That's
maybe
right.
you're going to have some cocaine, mm-hmm. and why not play some blackjack? But enough about me. When I was using, I think we naturally do that. And so that becomes harmful. Does that diminish our capacity to enjoy dopamine and serotonin when we aren't using?
Yes, it does. And so what starts to happen? So what, you know, here's what I want to be real clear about is when we take a look at the extremes of drug and alcohol abuse and the things that you've talked about, George, what we tend to believe when people hear that, they point at that and they go, oh, well, that's them. That's what's happening to them because it's such an obvious example of what we're talking about here. But the truth is what we're going to talk about tonight applies to everybody. What happens to everyone is when you do all these dopamine spikes, and so that means you do a lot of these activities we're going to talk about to excess, and you become very indulgent in these things. That's a spike. A layer is what you're talking about, George, which is, for instance, let's say you combine shopping with maybe some online gambling, with some iPhone use, with some TV binge watching, with carb loading and then using sugar and chocolate and so on, and then you do some gaming, and then you have a political discussion which is very conflictual. That's layering too. All that's layering.
So what's your point here, Tim? I mean, you didn't have to get personal. Yeah.
Did I just describe your last weekend, George, or what? Yeah.
I didn't talk about politics, but other than that, it was pretty close. Yeah. So we can do this even on our recovery.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So, in fact, this is the thing, and I even to bring this to my clients at Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, when we talk about, you know, and you know this saying, George, the only thing you need to change is
everything.
And of course, that seems overwhelming, but it's not, because what we're talking about is a way of life. And I would say most Americans have adopted a lifestyle of these dopamine spikes and layering that we're talking about. And because of that, you think about what you do every single day, multiple times a day. You think about then how many times you do this per week, and you think about how many times you do all the things that I'm talking about in combination with each other, and you go, uh-oh. And then you start to think, Why have I been struggling with my mood? Why have I been struggling with anxiety? Why am I eating more? Why am I perhaps drinking a bit more? Why have I become more dependent on perhaps psychotropics or herbal supplements or something like that? By the way, I'm not judging that. I'm saying that's what happens over time. Why is this happening to me? Why am I struggling with apathy? Why am I just struggling with despair? Why might I have not be having pleasure in the things that used to cause me pleasure? And why am I having difficulty even with everyday stresses? Why do I have a hard time getting up for work in the morning? How come I have a hard time even enduring going through a difficult task? Why am I having a difficult time concentrating? I think what I've just described is what I'm going to guess is the overwhelming majority of everyone who's listening to this, not just people that are in recovery.
I think you're spot on, Tim. I think that's exactly right. And George, you talk often about people wanting to change the way they feel, so they're probably looking for that dopamine hit, aren't they?
Well, for me, I think where we had started with this was the COVID struggling. And I would tell you that, and I don't want to get ahead of what you wanted to talk about, Tim, but I think Glosser in 76 wrote a book on positive addictions. Mm-hmm. And these are things that can be positive, but can become addictive. And he even talked about meditation, prayer, exercise, all key components to my recovery. But if you can't do them or because of COVID, so you're not seeing people in that, my guess is this causes a shift for people that they either go into a kind of a withdrawal because they can't do it, or they shift to TV and eating. And is that fair?
Yes, that's right. So, you know, we call that in addiction, of course, withdrawal, and then we're replacement, right? But that's true of any of these dopamine addictions that we're talking about. Every activity that I'm talking about, what they all have in common is they're called dopaminergic. Say that fast 10 times. And all that means is they get good dopamine going on in the body and in the brain. And so if you're spiking that all the time, the brain works like a teeter-totter in terms of pain and pleasure. Dopamine will spike the pleasure piece, but guess what? You will pay the price. And what you start paying the price for, it's like if you had a handful of chocolate, what's the very next thing you start experiencing? A craving and an urge to want more. So the pain and pleasure act like a teeter-totter. Dr. Anna Lemke talks about this in her book, Dopamine Nation. It's just a brilliant book, and she talks about these very same themes. But that's what happens is a teeter-totter in the brain is that you then pay the price of pain. Now, by the way, the upside is when we work hard, when we put a lot of effort into something, when we stick with something, if we endure, if we show some grit, that is actually discomfort or pain and challenging ourselves. Guess what we're going to experience at the end of that? We're going to experience pleasure. That is our brain naturally balances that way, just like a teeter-totter does. And so what George is talking about is now we replace drugs and alcohol with all these other behaviors, and we do one after another after another. And do we then pay the price of also withdrawal and craving, and actually over time, dopamine decreases in our brain. And then our receptors decrease over time, which means that we are now, as Dr. Lemke would say, we have all these gremlins in the brain of pain that now are multiplying as that is occurring. And that's what happens. We think that only happens to people who are in chronic and severe addiction with what we might even call serious drugs. But the truth is it happens to all of us, and it's called down regulation. You down regulate by reducing dopamine in the brain and reducing receptors in the brain, and now you are experiencing actually more pain than you are pleasure.
Okay, so I want to back up if we can for a minute. This is fascinating to me. Does coffee cause dopamine?
Yes, Yes. Although, as you probably experienced, like I limit myself in the morning to two cups, and it's because, and I'm honest about this, if I have more than that, I get actually kind of agitated, paranoid. I get I'm not pleasant to be around after two cups of coffee because I'm using too much of a stimulant, right? Now, there is an upside use of coffee. Actually, coffee has been shown to increase dopamine receptors when you use it in moderation. So there's an upside to coffee. So it's actually, it can be part of, if you use it in moderation, it can actually help with what I'm talking about. But yes, it does increase dopamine.
Because I would think if you took somebody's recovery from drug addiction, that a lot of their recovery, let's just say a guy gets up and has coffee and reads his Bible, and he gets, that could be layering of dopamine. And yes. Then after he calls a few people that he's working with, he likes that. And then he goes and works out. I'm describing my recovery here.
I thought you were doing that, George. Yeah, yeah.
And so there can be positives to this. Do we increase our ability to manufacture more capacity to enjoy our dopamine by doing it the right way? Or will this ultimately come crashing down someday?
No, what you're describing was fairly balanced. You know, this isn't an all or nothing thing, like dopamine's bad, you know. I have clients at Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge that they have these great shirts that say God is dope. So that's actually true, is spiritual activities increase dopamine, right? As you increase your conscious contact with God, George, you know, you will experience that. And it's really like a blend, you know, you want to blend, and a balance, of dopamine and not overdo it. You actually want to, though, learn over time to enjoy simple things, to enjoy beauty and truth and goodness in the world. And you get to that point where you have to live a life of simplicity, and you got to live a life of focus and you know, being mindful or present to fully enjoy that moment. That's balance. That's balance. And that's good. It's not all or nothing, dopamine or not. It's a matter of having a balance of dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, adrenaline, et cetera, and not overdoing any of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of our previous shows, you talked about how much you enjoy worship music.
Amen.
And I would think that would be a dopamine release for Dr. Walsh, wouldn't it?
It is. It is. And that illustrates the very thing that I'm talking about. But let's go to an extreme. George, why not, right? Let's go to an extreme. And so let's say, you know, early on in my Christianity, in which is true, you know, you have amazing experiences with the Holy Spirit and you see just incredible things. And instead of just going, well, thank you, God, and then you go about your day-to-day Christian life and the things that you're talking about, now you chase one dramatic spiritual experience after another, and more and more dramatic speakers and more dramatic and experiential services, and you start chasing that. Well, is that faith or is that dopamine addiction? You tell me.
Yeah.
Take a little break.
George, I think we need to take a little break. That's okay. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill and George. Our special guest tonight is Dr. Tim Walsh from Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Welcome back to Real Recovery. Bill and George, you got Ryan on the board doing what he does so well. Our special guest tonight is Dr. Tim Walsh from Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. What a fascinating topic we've got going tonight, George. Dope versus hope, because this amazing chemical God's given us called dopamine in the brain. If it is not regulated or used correctly and it gets abused, there's trouble.
Yes, and it's been fascinating. I think we left Dr. Walsh on going to worship all the time and looking for new and exciting Christian experiences that stimulate us rather than maybe have obedience and moderation on them. I think that's what we were talking about.
Yes. So I was talking about that. It's not all or nothing. We of course want to have this mix of, I call them, happy chemicals in our body and brain. God designed it exactly that way. In fact, I'd go even further, that God has designed these steady emotional, positive emotional states as the reward for living. When I look at, for instance, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on, those are steady state emotions. These are positive emotions. God is giving us fruit, and you're supposed to enjoy it, and you're supposed to gratify. But how do we get there? How do we get to love? You know, certainly you don't have instant love. How do you have instant peace? I mean, it's just like, and that's the difference here is these steady state positive emotions. God wants us to have that in our lives. He certainly does, but it is all in balance. The difference here is when you look at dope, you know, if you don't mind me shortening that down to dope, what's the difference other than that it releases dopamine? Everything on the list that I have for dopamine or dopaminergic, it's short term, it's indulgent, it's instant, it's effortless, it's pleasure seeking, it's avoiding pain, it's self-centered, it's involved in using or taking something, and it's focused in on consuming. Can you see the problem there when you do one thing after another after another after another that is focused all in that one direction?
I can see, Tim, that some of the reasons that people drink are good in that it's stress relief or celebration, but it gets messed up.
Mm-hmm.
In that all we do when we use a mood altering chemical is change how we feel, basically. And it works, but we're short circuiting the effort to get it from a chemical that can't give it to us without consequences.
That's right. That's right. In fact, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get more concrete in this. I'm going to give a voice to dopamine, and this is going to sound a little weird, but I don't care. You know, dopamine has this voice. It anticipates what's going to happen, what we expect is going to happen. This is what it sounds like. This is going to be great. This is, oh boy, oh wow, this, oh man, this, I can't wait till this happens. This is going to be the best ever. I can't wait till we can experience this. And oh, by the way, hey, front of your brain, I want you to just calm down. I don't want judgment to ruin this for me. You always ruin everything. And by the way, memory, I want you to pull up. I want you to pull up every experience we've ever had like this, because I want to just savor this thing, and because that's what's going to happen this time. It's going to be amazing. And oh, habits. I want you to figure out how we've done this every single time, because that's what we're going to do this time. And hey, strategy part of the brain, let's figure out how we're going to get there, and so that we can get that payoff. Man, this is going to be good. Let's all just focus in on this direction. Hey, body, get going in this direction now. That's what dopamine sounds like in the brain. That's what dopamine does in the brain. And now imagine you've been using or doing all these other activities again and again and again, and the payoff becomes less and less and less. You used to feel euphoria and oblivion. You used to feel, like George was saying, you know, mood altering. You used to feel all these excitement and stimulation and so on. And then you keep using, and then you're using and you're just feeling basically normal. You're using to feel normal. And then after a while, because of dopamine depletion, what will start to happen is you're using just to feel subnormal. You're actually feeling dysphoric, you're feeling anxious, you're feeling stressed as a baseline. That's your baseline. And then it's not, you have no pleasure essentially whatsoever. And you're using, even though you're having major consequences, and you're starting to experience almost nothing but pain and craving, and agitation and irritability and so on. So that's what happens over time. So this is the problem when we don't do a balance, like we said, the teeter-totter, right? When we don't do a balance of things that are pleasure in our life versus those things we've got to work for, the things that are challenging, things that take time, things that are focused on other people, things that are giving to other people. So we have to balance that whole thing out. Otherwise, you're going to have the teeter-totter flip right into the major pain experience over time. Pain will become the baseline. Discomfort will become the baseline over time.
You know, I don't know what you were talking about at the beginning, but I just want to let you know that I was in. I was going to go with whatever we were doing when you were talking about it. You know, about this will be great. It reminds me of that.
I was too good of a salesman.
I was in. And I'll speak for myself. It's like that car commercial where that guy's mischief and he's got the French fries.
Yes.
And he goes, Doug, you know, it's like we all have that. Yeah. You did that really well.
That's
too
right.
Well, actually.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. 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 And of course, in sin, that's what Satan sounds like in our brain too, right? I mean, even our own carnal nature can sound like that too. And what's fascinating about that is the buildup is just unbelievable. You know, the buildup is unbelievable. Like the buildup to, you know, like say the halftime show, it's the Super Bowl. And then you go through it and going, yeah, that's all right. That's okay. And so you have this letdown, amazing letdown, because that's what happens over time with dopamine depletion. What's interesting over time, and this is what I talk about, you know, what addiction does to the brain, it does two things. One is the things that used to cause you pleasure no longer cause you pleasure. You're not excited. You're not passionate. You lose, it's called anhedonia, you lose that hedonism that George talks about. You lose that pleasure in things, that joy in things. Things are not that important. Things that used to be extremely important to you are no longer important. So that's the first thing that it does. And then the second thing that it does is increases your experience of pain or discomfort. This is the part that people don't understand about all of these things that we're talking about, not just drugs and alcohol, is over time, minor stresses, minor challenges, minor inconveniences, minor deprivations in life will be experienced as more extreme pain and discomfort, to the point where you don't feel like you can cope, you don't feel like you can handle even everyday stressors. So it does those two things over time. It increases your sensitivity to pain, and you even see this with people who have chronic pain. They get on some of these, like oxycodone and so on, or fentanyl, my goodness. They start getting on these pain relievers, these analgesics, and then what starts to happen over time is their sensitivity to pain actually increases. It has that analgesic effect at first, and the pain kind of goes away, but then over time, their sensitivity to the pain increases, so it's self-defeating over time. I'm not a medical doctor, by the way. I am not saying people shouldn't take the medications that their doctor has prescribed them, but what I am saying is in anything that we're talking about here, if we use these things to avoid pain, if we use these things to comfort ourselves, if we use these things so that we don't feel as much stress, over time it's going to have the opposite effect.
Okay. Very true. So what do we do?
You want to jump to solutions, huh?
George? No, I don't want to change what you were going to say, but I'm thinking, okay, everything you said, I feel Billy is right on the money. So
I do too. It's amazing.
Go ahead. Yeah, we stop doing some of these things. So we get sober, let's say. Mm-hmm. And we're starting a new thing. And maybe we realize we're going to too many accountability groups. And maybe we're spending too much time talking about our new life. And it's starting to take away from our family time. But otherwise, we're not enjoying this at all. I mean, I think there's a window in Ephesians 4, 22 and 23 about putting off the old and putting on the new. Mm-hmm. You know, you're coming out of a painful consequence that you talked about. And that motivates us. I don't want to do it, but we have to replace that with pleasure in a new life, in a new creation in Christ. But there's a window of time on that. And people do go overboard. I think the only, when I work with guys and in myself, Tim, the only moderation I ever show is in my walk with God and in working my recovery. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in people. We don't have an off button.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't know when to say when. What are some pointers that if we're starting out in recovery, we can avoid these pitfalls?
Yeah. So first of all, you know, people even talk about that, you know, could you go through a dopamine detox? And there's some debate about whether that works or not. But actually, the researchers, the medical doctors, the psychiatrists that I respect and I've been following on this topic, what they say is, no, indeed, it does work. You do need to go through a period of withdrawal, and you have to go through a period of abstinence from, and I'm not just talking about drugs and alcohol. I'm talking about shopping. I'm talking about gambling. I'm talking about iPhone use. I'm talking about computer use. I'm talking about iPad use. I'm talking about binge TV watching. I'm talking about social media. I'm talking about if a person has a problem with this, pornography, gaming, virtual reality, violent media, outrage TV, maybe even politics for you, smoking, vaping, energy drinks, other amusements and recreations, all of these things spike dopamine, right? And so if a person has a way of life where you go from one thing to another to another to another, for instance, if you check your phone 90 times a day, which is now the average, and you layer all these things, well, it's not just drugs and alcohol you need to withdraw from. It's not just that. It's a way of life where we are constantly relying upon dope. So that's where it starts, as you know. I mean, that's where we start in treatment, is a person totally detoxes, withdraws from those chemicals. And so you do actually need to start there. The notion, George, as you know, that you can go right, you can go into moderation these activities. I don't know that that's true. I think that that's usually the recommendations is 30 days. 30 days of detox, and then you start to get a rebound in your dopamine receptors, and you get a rebound in the dopamine levels in your body. At first, it's really, really uncomfortable. Now, the next thing, if we have time to talk about this for just a second, we can start getting into this a little bit in the next segment, but let's talk about how you embrace, as my pastor would say, embrace the suck, otherwise known as leaning in, otherwise known as actually being willing to endure or have grit. I would say that's the next thing.
Hmm. All right. I have a question, too, about dopamine overload consequences. Maybe we can discuss that in the next segment as well. Dr. Tim Walsh is our guest. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill and George. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Welcome back. We're with Dr. Tim Walsh tonight from Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. Always glad to have Tim on the show. And George, this has been a spectacular hour. And I think Tim's going to now take us to our relationship to pain and discomfort. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, where people want to go, where we always want to go is just like, okay, Tim, let's get to the good part. Well, how do we replace, you know, dopamine, and how do we still feel good? But the truth is, you know, when you look at this, we have to reorient to how we deal with pain and struggle and challenge and discomfort in our life. And a good illustration of that is if you think about a lot of our ancestors, what did they used to do? They'd go in like a sauna, they'd get all steamed up, and what would they do next? They would go jump into a hole in the ice. And
this is the worst idea you've ever had, Tim, just so you know.
Well, I know, but it's a good illustration, though. It's like, and they loved it. And they loved it. And we ended up finding out, you know, through longitudinal studies that was actually good for their heart and their blood pressure, and actually good with their mental health, too. And so we don't have to do something that extreme. But the truth is, if we deliberately allow ourselves to go through challenges, if we deliberately actually bring in certain stressors into our lives, if we deliberately have to grit through certain things, and it takes a lot of effort and work to get to our goal, to get to the payoff, to get to the pleasure, guess what? You're going to rebound. Your dopamine balance will rebound by just allowing yourself to get back to what used to be normal life. That's what it takes. When you think about anything that's worth having, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time. And so you learn actually to enjoy the journey. You learn to enjoy the challenge. You learn to actually enjoy work in that way. In our society, we probably don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. And that's what it takes. And look at how that's represented in the Bible. That's exactly what it takes. in order to experience, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. That's what it takes to experience the fruit of the Spirit, is actually being in the Spirit and then actually getting to the point where you then experience these steady-state positive emotions that the Bible really wants you to have these rewards in your life. And so, and it can be easy things. It can be easy things like one breathing exercise. I don't recommend this for everybody, but one person illustrated is you breathe fast through your nose 10 times, you know, and that seems really silly to do something like that. But what are you really doing when you're doing that? You're increasing, you're elevating your blood pressure. You're actually causing yourself deliberately some stress by doing that. And you're showing that you can endure something that's fairly uncomfortable. And so if you lack challenge in your life and work and stress in your life, and some of us do actually in our lives, there are ways of deliberately allowing yourself to going through something uncomfortable or discomforting, in order to then have that payoff of the rebound that you will experience within your dopamine balance. Does that, gentlemen, does that make sense to anybody?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I do yoga, Tim, and the yoga breathing is that too. But one of the things that I thought about for recovery, and I think for people listening that are just getting into recovery, you're going to develop new pleasures, okay? And one of them is, I look at the Big Blue Recovery Book, and there's a chapter in there called Working with Others. And they talk about extensive research show that the number one way to ensure against taking that first drink is working with others.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first heard that, I thought, well, that makes sense. See how bad it is when people and struggle. That's not it. It's the time of my life. Is seeing somebody else get sober and find God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like trying to tell a stranger about a rock and roll. Do you believe in magic? Yes. But you have to experience it to do it. And I know you guys do this all the time, but I'm not wrong on this, am I?
No.
You need to experience that.
No, that's right. And so, you know, now we're starting to get into the solutions in recovery. And the solution is not all or nothing, totally deprive yourself or have none of these things in your life, although, like we said, you have to go through a period of abstinence, is we need a balance of those things that cause these dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin and even adrenaline in the body. But think about the difference here is if we focus on the long term and what is good for us and other people in the long term, all of that, that long-term effort is going to have the payoff that I'm talking about. What, George, you're talking about is being compassionate and giving to others. That's step 12. And whenever you do that, you are not consuming, you're giving. You're not using or abusing, you're giving to other people. You're loving them. And by doing that, is that work, is that effort? It sure is. But then how do you feel when you get done with that work and effort? You feel fantastic. You feel great about doing that. Of course, if you do that within the right spirit. So, and if you do it for a relationship and a relationship you really value, again, you pour into your relationships, and that takes a lot of effort as well. And that takes sometimes stress and work and working through problems and issues and so on. So this is the difference. That's not what these dopamine hits. All that's instant gratification. That's all pleasure seeking. That's all self-focus. It's instantaneous and so on. And so all these things that we're talking about require some effort, some stress, some challenge, some focus, some endurance, and you got to, of course, learn how to cope. You have to learn how to cope with these everyday stressors and challenges and so on, and even some really difficult moments, don't we?
Very good.
Yeah. You've hit some serious triggers tonight, Tim, but I mean that in a good way. But when you talk about layering some of these dopamine experiences. I know that's speaking to everybody who's listening, not just people with drugs or alcohol problems.
That's right.
But this is all of us. You know, you talk about 90 visits to the iPhone every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's TV, there's sugar, there's chocolate, there's all these things you can layer upon for these little dopamine hits. And you may be unaware that some of this stress that you're bringing into your life is just a biochemical thing that you have some control over starting, tonight.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, you can even turn the list that we're talking about in. You might have a problem if. So, like, you might have a problem if you look more forward to the Amazon delivery man than you do to your own children and your wife, right? Yeah. So, that might be a problem, right? Right. So, you know, and you can keep going with that. You keep going with the whole list. Like, you know, I do a little bit of gaming on the side, but I was starting to play a game the other day, a computer game, and my mood just crashed. And then I had to do some reflection on that. And what I realized was this normally, you know, I'm able to space out and, you know, kind of dissociate from the rest of the day and the world and reality when I do a game like that. That activity of being so distracted and unfocused actually was causing my mood to crash. It was distraction and that dissociation from reality that was actually ruining my mood.
None of that surprises me at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you sharing that because I think you're talking to a lot of people right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of people in America are reporting chronic pain. It's like 38% of people say that they have the extreme pain or a significant amount of pain all the time, you know. And we now have this epidemic of anxiety, depression, in society, especially with younger people. And by the way, I think exactly for all the reasons that I'm talking about. Some of us grew up and we didn't have all these devices. We didn't have all these distractions. And then the other thing I want to throw into that mix is keep in mind that every company that manufactures these tools and devices and media are using all of the research on what causes addiction and dependency. As they're doing that, they're deliberately trying to get us addicted and dependent on their media and or their device and or their game and or their amusement, all of that. And all the chemicals we're talking about, including food, by the way, is being designed for maximum dependency and addiction on those food substances. I would even call them food stuff. It's not real food, right? And so keep that in mind, that that's what it is. And then on the spiritual level, think about that. Well, you know, Satan actually operates in the same way, doesn't he? He is bombarding us with the things that will hijack our brains and decrease our will to do anything and actually get us to tap into our carnal nature and so that we become captured. We become captured in all of those things. It's the same principle that operates within sin.
It's really interesting. What I try to do in my recovery, I'll get your input on this, Dr. Walsh. I look at thinking it through. Today I swam, and when I get out of the pool, I feel like I've had about three drinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it takes me an hour to get to that. But the consequence isn't there from like having three drinks. And to get it down to my level, what I have to do is go, okay, is there a consequence here? I've never done gaming because I know that it would be a problem. I don't gamble anymore. But the consequence flag is a good warning sign. Is that a proper way to regulate yourself as far as your activities for getting dopamine? I realize if I swam too much, I could have bad shoulders. But keeping it in moderation is a nice theory. But the practice really is, we do need enjoyment in our life to keep doing this recovery.
Yes, but the activity you just talked about, George, is actually the exact opposite of what we're talking about. It takes work, it takes effort, it takes dedication, it takes time, it takes getting into a cold pool, and you are experiencing most of the payoff, not all of it. You're experiencing most of the payoff at the end. It's exactly the kind of activity that we would recommend for this balance of happy chemicals in your brain and your body that will not result in dependency, will not result in depletion, will not result in cravings and withdrawal, except for the desire to repeat that activity again so that you can enjoy both the activity and the payoff at the end of the activity. So swimming is a perfect example of a balanced reward.
Mm. Okay.
Tim, so good. So good. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Dr. Tim Walsh has been our guest. You can go to Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, MNTC.org, to learn more about that amazing ministry. That's all we have for tonight. Thanks for being with us. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.